In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Josaphat is one of these great martyrs of the more recent church, only having passed his turn in this life in 1623. He's a man murdered by his enemies. He began his life as a young man who was inspired by the love of God at a very young age and always desired to give himself to great learning and great study of the faith, living in the eastern part of the church. The whole of his life, he labored for union between those separated churches in the Greek world to have a union with Latin Rome. This was his one desire and cause, and so he gave himself to much learning and especially all the more to much prayer, such that he could see his own come back home. He was not happy to have his brethren separated from that which gives true life, that is, the Catholic Church, united with the Pope of Rome. And so Josaphat went forward and preached. He learned arguments. He had great wisdom and understanding, such that one could liken him to St. Stephen, our own patron. St. Stephen, who was known so greatly for being able to confound the Jews, he confounded all his countrymen and those who were given to heresies, just like the heretic Photius, who was supporting the Greeks in their separation from Rome at the time, and so confounded all those who had stepped before him. And as he would speak, more and more would come back home. The church is likened to a mother. We speak of the church as our holy mother, the church. And so it is important that, like a mother, what does a mother always want? It is for all of her children always to be at home. When they go away, she always longs for them to come back. Whether it's for to go away to school or to go away for various things in their lives, to go about in jobs and work, our mother, the church, just like all of our mothers, seeks for those to come back home. And with anxiety, she awaits such a return. So it is that Josaphat, our patron saint of this day, longed for the return home of all those who were there, feeling the anxiety of his own mother, sought to bring them back. And because he was so successful, they dubbed him a particular title. They called him the Thief of Souls. Normally, we associate the Thief of Souls with another person, he who seeks about their ruin. Josaphat was so strong in bringing souls back that those who were heretics dubbed him the Thief of Souls, because he would steal them from the heresy and bring them back to the truth of orthodoxy, true orthodoxy. The difficulties became so great within his day because his successes were so well known that not only did they seek to confound him, which they were never able to do, they sought to win him over by violence. There was one particular time, weeks before he passed, where he expressed before all in his congregation that he felt that he himself was called to shed his blood for the church, and that he expected this and looked for it with great vigor. That I feel that the Lord, he said, is calling me to shed my blood that his church may be one again. And so it is that I hope. These were prophetic words, where it was just a couple weeks later where some ruffians came of the heretical sect to bring and to abuse those who were serving him within his courtyard. He was the archbishop of this particular bishopric which he was given, and seeing that they were abusing his servants who were outside, he came out to meet them. And he said in words which I'll paraphrase now, for I have them not before me, he said, "Why do you abuse my servants in this way? It is you, it is I who you seek. Here I am. Come." And as he did so, they left them aside, rushed upon the bishop, who was now there, stood unguarded, welcoming them as they began to beat him, to attack him, and finally, with a halberd, that is, a mighty axe, went and cleft his head. Not only did they seek in their anger, heretical anger, to do this violence to him by taking his life, but then drug him out and threw him into the river, so that no follower would ever be able to gather up his remains and claim him as a martyr. The bishops all around saw the courage of this one and said, if he was willing to give his life in such a way and so strongly, then we will preach all the more strongly, seeing his blood has already been shed for this cause. His only desire was just like Stephen's desire. He prayed for his persecutors even whilst they rushed upon him, wishing that his blood would bring about their conversion. What do you find? So it did. Those very men who that day laid siege to him, who held him up, repented of their wicked ways. Each of them reconciled with the church and were received back into her fold, every one of them. His body was not lost to the church. Various accounts gave me different times, so I won't give you the amount of time that it was, so I'm not sure which one was correct. One said it was 5 months later, where his body washed up, completely intact and, in fact, incorrupt, such that it is able to be placed, and you can see it. I visited his body many times. It's in the Vatican, St. Peter's Basilica, under the altar of St. Basil. He was a Basilian monk. And there you can still see his incorrupt body here, nigh 400 years later. What does God wish to teach us in this? Is that the most important aspect of the church that we should seek to bring about is a unity. Disunity is scandalous within the church. But the unity that we seek is not a unity that is merely we say we shake hands and fight amongst ourselves beneath the surface, but a unity which only can be had within the Catholic Church, which is that founded upon truth, lasting truth, truth that perdures through the century, where the church always is. The church is one holy, Catholic, and apostolic. Joseph will teach you that in the RCAA class. Those are the marks of the church. But it is first one, for there is but one church. And so the church is always in anxiety, as our Lord prayed with his disciples, 12 that they were at the Last Supper, saying, ut unum sent, that you may be one. This is something that we should pray for in our day. That here, even as we approach this 1,000-year schism, which will be upon us in just a few years, we can pray that the Lord, through a great miracle, will end it, to usher in a real millennium of unity back within the church, so that those who are separated from us as our brothers and sisters have gone the heretical way as schismatics might indeed come back and find a true and happy home where the truth is always preserved within the church. The way that you and I can procure this is more forcefully than with our words, than by our lived out example, as well as our willingness to lay down our lives for our Holy Mother, the Church. In these days, when they're dark, we can pray all the more strongly, and maybe we can hope with expectation that some of us might even live to see those days where we would be asked to give such a gift. And so to ask our Lord, should he make us worthy to receive such a blow, that we would gladly give it, and love just as St. Stephen, our patron, just as St. Joseph, this great martyr for the unity of the Church, to give it freely, for to hope that those who do lay their hand to take our lives might indeed be restored to the fullness of life for which we ultimately do offer ourselves. It is for these things that we pray. Let us ask our Lord that, motivated by the same love that we have been given, that so too we also might be strengthened by the church which he bestows upon us here within this great gift in his church. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.